It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. As many East Pittsburgh residents know by now and have been dreading, the Greenfield Bridge is coming down, temporarily at least. The bridge, which was built in 1921, is a crucial artery into the community, but it has fallen into disrepair and became the poster child for a 60 Minutes report on America's structurally deficient bridges. So it will be demolished soon and rebuilt over the next year and a half. Getting around won't be easy. But before we start worrying about that, we're going to party like it's 1921. This Saturday, something called Greenfield Bridge Fest is taking place. It's designed to give the old bridge a proper send-off into the abyss while promoting and supporting the community and its business districts while the new bridge is under construction and everyone is inconvenienced. I'm joined now in studio by event co-chair and assistant director in the Department of Public Works, Patrick Hassett, who is overseeing the bridge project as well. Patrick Hassett, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's great to be back, Paul.
It is great to have you here. And with us by phone is City Councilman Corey O'Connor. Councilman O'Connor, good to have you with us. And Councilman O'Connor, are you there? Okay, we'll get with Corey here shortly, but as long as we have Patrick Hassett in studio, how did the idea for a Greenfield Bridge Fest come about, Patrick?
Well, when you take a look at the situation we have out there, it's a major event occurring in the city. But more importantly, it's going to have a big impact on the community. And the mayor's been looking at ways to get ahead of the game in terms of impacting the community. And one way to do that is to start looking at the beginning of these construction projects, at ways that we can help the community. And everybody was taking a look at this project and saying, you know, that was a grand bridge, and we really shouldn't just let it fall by the wayside without some pomp and circumstance. And so we put together the idea of the Bridge Fest as a way of doing both things, celebrating the passing of a Pittsburgh icon and supporting the community and the businesses by bringing some regional exposure to the community and creating some buzz around Greenfield to sustain us through the next 2 years of construction.
You know, it occurred to me that you might be a guy that could take us back to 1921 when that bridge was first built. Talk about the engineering marvel that it must have been at the time.
Well, it was very old-type engineering. If you look at the drawings, they have a lot of wood. They almost built a wooden bridge first in order to pour the concrete in to create the concrete bridge. Back then, this year, the concrete was a new source of material. This is one of the seven grand concrete bridges we had in the city. We're down to two now, the Greenfield Bridge and the Larimer Avenue Bridge. It was quite a feat in its day. And as if you look at the old pictures, it was quite an amazing bridge, too, both aesthetically and from the size of the bridge.
So what are some of the events that are taking place Saturday at Bridge Fest?
Well, Saturday is an 8-hour event. We begin with Nomad, a country rock group that's based here in Pittsburgh. In fact, the drummer grew up and lives in Greenfield. We have then followed by Millie opening up for Joe Krasinski in the evening. We also have a kids zone, which has all the fire trucks and the ambulance and the police cars, a bouncy house, a face painter, and a balloon artist.
And this is going to be on the bridge, right?
This is all off the bridge.
Off the bridge, all right.
We're not allowed on the bridge in any uncontrolled way.
Is that for safety reasons?
That's because the engineering models can't predict what would happen if we had people crowded shoulder to shoulder on the main arch of the bridge.
I got you. I hear you.
Now, that's not to say we're not going to be on the bridge. We're going to have bowling on the bridge. We're going to have an artist who has painted a hole in the bridge, so you'll be able to walk out onto the deck and peer down what appears to be a hole in the deck.
Oh, that ought to be fun.
And we're going to have drag
racing. Hope you're not scared of heights.
Yeah. And we're going to have drag racing.
Ah, now that's a great idea.
So we are going to be on the bridge, but in a controlled way.
Sure. Well, of course. But it's still going to be kind of a Greenfield get-down, which I think people are going to enjoy. All right. Now, I understand we have Corey O'Connor back with us on the line. Hi, Corey.
Hi, how are you? Sorry I got disconnected there.
That's okay, Councilman. We understand. Explain how this bridge event is helping support the community and its business districts while this new bridge is under construction, because this is going to be a very trying time for many of those folks.
It is, and I have to first give a hats off to Pat Hassett. Pat has done a tremendous job with the Greenfield Association working to get this organized. It's really a great opportunity to highlight the small businesses in Greenfield. Obviously, you know, we're going to raise money at this event to help support them throughout this process, because it is going to be hard to get to your favorite Greenfield restaurant. You know, it might take 5 minutes. Now it might take up to 15 to 20. So we really want to shed light on those local businesses. And I don't know if Pat had mentioned this, but we are going to have a big raffle at the end of the night. And those proceeds are going to also help the business community. But the raffle is very unique because we get to pull, the winner of the raffle gets to push the button to blow up the bridge. So it's very unique that we're doing this, but it also gives a lot of credit to the Greenfield community because they're coming together to support one another, because we all know this is not going to be a fun 18 months, but we have to get through it. And I think you're going to see a lot of resolve in this community, and that's what we really want to highlight.
Councilman O'Connor, what else is being done in the community to weather what could potentially be somewhat of an economic storm? And maybe storm is too strong a word to use, but there's going to be a significant impact. What are some of the things you're going to be doing? And I'm curious as to whether you're going to be checking in with some of these businesses and saying, you know, how are you doing? What can we do to help and to make it easier for you to get through this tough 18-month stretch?
And we will be doing that as often as we possibly can. You know, we will be visiting. My office will be. I'm sure the neighborhood groups will be out there as well. But we also held a couple of community meetings for small businesses using the URA, some other nonprofits in the area that help support small businesses. So we tried to get them as much information as we possibly can for whether it's grants, things like that, that might help sustain them through this process. Again, there's going to be a lot of traffic, so we also want this bridge party to highlight those businesses. So while you're sitting in traffic, please stop in and support them. You know, the traffic is going to be hard for everybody to sit through, but think about those businesses losing customers. And that's why, you know, this is such a great event to have, to highlight what we have and how these businesses can get a lot of promotion through this process.
Yeah, you can run in and grab a pizza.
And that's what we want to
pick up your dry cleaning.
Dry cleaning, yeah.
Maybe even get your hair cut. I mean, it could be that long.
It could be. You know, I think, you know, our city engineering department, you know, with working with PennDOT, you know, the traffic patterns and the detours should hopefully flow smooth. My biggest concern is, and this is to everybody listening that usually uses the bridge to get out, you know, eastbound to Monroeville or something, is you're going to, everybody tries this during a detour. You always try to find that little hidden back road that's going to cut off all the traffic. And it's just, please remember that these are neighborhood streets. And, you know, there will be kids playing in the streets. And public safety is something that we have a big concern with when people go off the beaten path. Just remember that people do live there, and watch the speeding, and please be cautious when you try to look for that shortcut, because everybody's going to do it. I'll be honest. Everybody's going to try. But, you know, we just hope that everybody just adds a little bit more time to their daily travel, because that's what's going to happen.
That's probably the key, is just to give yourself extra time. It's Essential Pittsburgh. We're talking with Pittsburgh City Councilman Corey O'Connor, also Patrick Hassett, who is an assistant director in the Department of Public Works and is overseeing the Greenfield Bridge Reconstruction Project here on Essential Pittsburgh. And Patrick, I was talking about the 60 Minutes piece,
right,
which I happened to watch that piece on a Sunday night sitting here in the newsroom, not far from where the Liberty Bridge is, which is another bridge that they talked about in that story by Steve Croft, which, you know, so the Greenfield Bridge wasn't the only one being highlighted, but also they pointed out how there's this other bridge below designed to catch the debris falling from the Greenfield Bridge. That tells you how bad it has gotten. How would you describe it as someone with an engineering background?
Yeah, the bridge below the bridge was built in 2004 for about $750,000, and it was a safety feature.
Sure.
The netting wasn't holding necessarily all of the concrete. We couldn't get the netting to encase all the concrete, so just to make sure that none of it fell onto the highway, we put a structure under the structure to catch that falling debris. Because it was a live interstate, a lot of traffic, fast-moving traffic. We couldn't afford to even have a small pebble of concrete fall onto that roadway without consequence.
How did it get to that point? How did it get so bad? I mean, you know, the bridge is finally going to be blown up and rebuilt, but we're 6 years away from that bridge being a century old.
Mm-hmm.
So is it just big finances that cause us to have to wait this long?
No, it's really the enemy of the bridge, of all bridges, is salt and water.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of had its way with this bridge. The bridge also in its age had inferior concrete, so it wasn't weathering as well as other bridges do when assaulted by the weather. The reason it's taken so long to actually advance the designs and construction is because of the complexities. The first thing we had to do is understand whether we wanted to replace the bridge or rehab the bridge. We spent a good hard look at that because of the monies involved and did come up with replacing the bridge.
Could it have been rehabbed?
It could have, but it would have cost about only a couple million less, and we would have been back at this table again in 20 years having the same conversation.
So you spend a couple million more, you've got a new bridge.
Right. You get 80 to 90 years out of it.
Okay. Corey O'Connor, how excited are you about getting a new bridge and what this will do once we get through these 18 months for this area?
I'm obviously excited about the 18 months. I wish it would come faster. My council colleagues already said Tuesday morning, after all the calls we get, I'm going to have gray hair at the council meeting.
And your hair is jet black right now, so that would be saying something.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I'm going to be in trouble. But no, I mean, it shows not only rebirth in a community, but also rebirth in the city and how we're investing in new infrastructure that's going to sustain us well into the future. And this is a really great project because it shows how we can connect not only to other neighborhoods, but the park and the resources that we have in Schenley Park is really a stone's throw across the bridge. So I think you're really going to see, when this project is over and done with, something that the city can be proud of, the residents can be proud of. And again, when we're continuing to build and grow a city, this is something that's very important to our revitalization.
Patrick Hassett, tell us a little bit about a little more about the detail of what this new bridge is going to be like.
Well, one of the first decisions that we made, which was actually a bold decision because of the cost, is the new bridge will be an arched bridge like the old bridge, but it'll be a steel arched bridge with the same spandrels that they have today, which are the columns sticking up from the arch. It'll be a lot thinner and slicker than the bridge that's out there today. One of the other decisions that was made is the color. We put that out to public vote, and we asked them to think about color in three ways. Do you want it to be contextual, like gold or like green and brown? Do you want it to make a statement, like pink or black and gold? Or do you want it to be infrastructure? The vote was contextual. The second biggest vote was they did not want a black and gold bridge for some reason. So we selected the dark green. So it's going to be a dark green steel arched bridge with spandrels. It's going to look very sleek and very modern, state-of-the-art type bridge technology for the 21st century.
And how long will it last, do you think?
It should last 80 to 100 years.
So about as long as the one that was there now, which says something about, you know, even though it's in disrepair now, maybe this bridge was not so bad.
Right. Oh, definitely not so bad at all.
Corey O'Connor, your thoughts about, in the last few seconds that we have here, about 30 seconds or so, just your memories of the bridge and what you'll be thinking about as it goes out.
What my memories and, sorry, I missed the last part.
And what you'll be thinking about as you watch it go away.
I mean, obviously the memories are how, you know, you always drove this road. I mean, I remember before I took my driver's test, you know, my family would drive me through Schenley Park and you'd come around. I mean, this was like a great road to drive on as you're practicing through the park. And again, you know, the memories that you have is how you would walk back and forth. And that's something that a lot of people did to connect to other neighborhoods. And I think when it's all said and done, we're going to stand there as a community and as a city and be proud of the hard work that not only the city of Pittsburgh did, but the community did. And I'm waiting for that proud moment in 18 months.
And in the meantime, we have Greenfield Bridge Fest to look forward to on Saturday. And we've been talking with Pittsburgh City Councilman Corey O'Connor, as well as Patrick Hassett, Assistant Director in the Department of Public Works, who is the event co-chair. Have a great time on Saturday, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up, pop culture contributor Joe Woes on the Pittsburgh inventor who came up with a plan for contacting Mars in the early 20th century. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.